wave them at one time. Amen. Amen. So, Joshua, one old preacher said, just turn anywhere because it's all good. Amen. Amen. If it's King James, it's good anywhere. Amen. The maps is even good. You can get a blessing off the maps if you know what you're looking at. Amen. 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 Joshua chapter number 24 this morning. Joshua chapter number 24. I'll do my best to preach fast and get you out of here by 2 o'clock. Amen. I didn't see too many smiles. There's a couple of amens, but it wasn't a whole lot. Someone's like, is he serious? You never know. Amen. Joshua chapter number 24. Amen. We'll start reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. In verse number 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness this morning. I pray, God, you'd give us liberty to preach. And I pray, God, you'd help us to have spirit-filled ears to hear, Lord, what the word of the Lord has to say to us this morning. I pray, speak to our hearts. I pray, God, if there be anybody lost this morning, please, God, convict them and show them, Lord, that their need in life, their greatest need that they'll ever face is to have the personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that you'd show them that this morning. I pray, God, you'd save that soul that's nearest hell. God, I pray for the Christian that's wayward. I pray for the Christian that's weary. I pray for the Christian that's backslid. God, I pray for the Christian that may be going through life and maybe they don't have their focus on you. Maybe they're not serving you like they ought to. God, I pray you'd help them this morning to be challenged from the Word of God and by the Spirit of God working in their heart. Lord, I pray you'd draw them near and dear to you. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in Joshua chapter number 4, we come to the scene where Joshua has called the people of Israel together to this place called Shechem. It's the same place where Abraham built his first altar. And God has Joshua as the leader of the nation of Israel now. And as Joshua's drawing near to the end of his life, he calls the people together and he summons them and he charges them and he gives them a challenge. He gives them a choice, if you will. He has been the one who led them through the conquest of the promised land. He's led them through the battles. He led them through the trials. He's led them into the conquering of the promised land. And now Joshua's about to go on. He knows he is. And he calls the people together. And he brings them here in verse number 14 and on through our reading this morning. And he gives them a charge and a challenge. And he calls Israel together and he tells them they've got a choice to make. Apparently, through the reading of our text, some of these people, though they had been the nation of Israel, though they had followed Joshua, though they knew the God of Israel, and they knew that, apparently some of them had returned back to worshiping their forefathers' gods that they worship on the other side. And some of them were going back into idol worship, and some of them were dabbling in things of the world, which they ought not to be dabbling. Some of them were going back into things that they ought not be. And so Joshua, before he dies, he said, I'm going to call them together. And he said, under the power of God, he's going to charge them. And so here in verse number 15, it's a very familiar verse. He said, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he gives them a choice. He says, you can go back on the other side of the river. Hey, he said, or you can serve the only God, the one that brought you on this side of the river, and the God we've been serving for years and followed him. So he gives them a charge. And then, as it goes down through there, they dabble and they come up and they tell him, we're going to serve the Lord. But in verse number 29, I want you to look at what Joshua said. What the Word of God says. It'd be kind of hard for Joshua to write what's in verse number 29, so I'm not sure who exactly the human writer was, but God said, verse number 29, it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. The servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old. And with the help of the Lord, just for a little while, I want to preach on the thought, how to have a heavenly obituary. How to have a heavenly obituary. Obituary. I was in the barbershop one day, and I was sitting in there, and there were some people that I knew sitting in the barbershop, and there was a lady there, and she had a newspaper. Of course, when I go in the barbershop, I grab the Sports Illustrator, I grab a newspaper, and open up straight to the sports section. Amen? Man, the Methodist is here. Amen. All right. So I was in the barbershop, and I turned over, and I was looking around and talking and everything, and this lady that I knew was sitting in the barbershop. And she had the newspaper open, and she was opening up, and I thought, you know, man, she's really into this. And I asked her, I said, what are you reading over there? And she said, oh, I'm reading the obituaries to see which one of my friends died. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of people read the obituaries. If you get a newspaper and you read the obituaries, amen, anybody? Or nowadays, it's if you get online and read the obituary. And when we read an obituary about somebody, hey, it's always the best thing. How many of you ever read an obituary and it said, hey, so-and-so, old Joe Blow over here, he was the biggest crook, biggest liar. Nobody ever wanted to do business with him. Man, he ran around and cheated on his wife. Man, he was a liar. Who ever read an obituary like that? I've never read an obituary like that. You know what? Because when an obituary is written, we always write the best things. He could have been the biggest crook, biggest liar, biggest thief. And they say, you know, something nice about him, something about he was a loving person. He's going to be missed. Hey, he's going to be missed all right. Hey, but I'm going to say, there's a lot of people, hey, that when they die, there's going to be people writing a lie. Somebody said this, we ought to live our life so the preacher don't have to lie at our funeral. Amen. Let me look up in here. I'm not going to lie for you. Hey, I don't know a lot of you that well anyway, and no preacher ought to lie. You've been to a lot of funerals, and just about every time you go to a funeral, they'll say, oh, he's in a better place, or she's in a better place. Well, I just remind you this morning, everybody don't go to a better place, amen? So you better make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ in this life so you know in the next life you're going to a better place, amen? Amen. You got to get that settled, amen? But listen, we look at the obituaries, and somebody always sits down and tries to put it in the best words. They use the most artistic, flowery language to make that obituary sound so nice and pretty. I mean, time of death is not a good thing. But you know that, hey, when Joshua, hey, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord died, do you know who wrote his obituary? God Almighty wrote his obituary. And can I say to you this morning, God wasn't trying to put flowery language. God's not going to lie. And guess what? Joshua didn't fool God. And so when God went to writing about Joshua, he wrote exactly what Joshua was, the servant of the Lord. Amen. Can I say to you, hey, I don't know of any greater honor in this world that could ever be achieved. I don't know of any bigger or better title that you could ever be labeled with as a Christian than to be known as a servant of the Lord. I mean, there is very few people in the Word of God that God called them a servant of the Lord. Here we got Moses back in before Joshua. Moses was a servant of the Lord. Joshua was called a servant of the Lord. David was called a servant of the Lord. Over in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is called a servant of the Lord. James is a brother of the Lord Jesus, half-brother, and he calls himself a servant of the Lord. Jude is a servant of the Lord. But very few, when you take into regards how many people are mentioned throughout the Bible, just a handful are mentioned and called directly the servant of the Lord. Can I say there's a lot of people today, and they're trying to achieve a lot of different titles. There's a lot of people trying to be known as a lot of things. I mean, there's people trying to get their names with a PhD and a you know, LSD. I don't know what all they're trying to get out there, a THD. I mean, they're trying to get all kinds of, and I mean, they got so many degrees, y'all know that they can make up a thermometer, amen? But one of these days, all that's going to go away. I mean, there's people out there, there's young people that's trying to achieve. They want to be the greatest athlete. They want to be the next Michael Jordan. They want to be the next Cal Ripken. They want to be the next, hey, Derek Jeter. They are doing everything they can to achieve an earthly title. They're trying to be known as something. Hey, there's people out there trying to be known as the greatest doctor, the greatest lawyer. Hey, there's even preachers trying to be known as the greatest preacher. Hey, there's people out there trying to be known as the greatest politician. God help us. There's people trying to be known as the greatest orator. There's people trying to be known for a lot of great things in this life. But can I say one of these days, they're going to close their eyes in death, and in a few years, people are going to forget who they were. They're going to forget what they did, and they're going to forget their title. Amen. Amen. I could call names today. How many of you could tell me who the first MVP of the first World Series was? Nobody. How many could tell me, some of you may be able to get this, who was the first MVP of the first Super Bowl? Amen. Hey, over years we forget things like that. But God wrote something about this, his servant, Joshua. He said, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died being 110 years old. God didn't forget that Joshua was a servant. Can I say to you young people, you can achieve a lot of things in this life, but there's no greater honor that you can be called as a servant of the Lord. There's nothing you'll ever achieve that's ever going to be more honorable on your list of accomplishments in life than if God calls you the servant of the Lord. I'm not talking about if the preacher pats you on the back. I'm not talking about if the deacons put a pin on your lapel. I'm not talking about anything else than when you close your eyes in death to know that, hey, you've been a servant of the Lord and God counts you as a servant of the Lord. I'm talking about, hey, God don't make no mistakes. Amen. Throughout this chapter in Joshua chapter number 24, the word serve from verses 14 through the end of the chapter, the word serve is used 12 times. All right, the word served is used 3 times, and then in verse 2 it's used once. So some 15, 16 times we have the word serve or served. Can I say it's important if you serve the Lord? It really matters whether you serve the Lord or not. I mean, everybody's not going to be called a servant of the Lord. Amen. Everybody's not going to be known as a servant of the Lord in God's eyes. Amen. Amen. Everybody didn't get this title. Can I say, if you don't serve the Lord, you're not a servant of the Lord, amen? The Bible talks about over in Romans chapter 6, you're a servant to whom you served, whom you surrendered your life to, who you followed. Hey, the idea of being a servant, you say, what does that mean to serve? Hey, the word serve comes from the idea a servant is one who is in service to another. He is a servant because he works for, he labors for, he obeys, he attends to, he distributes to, he loves, he worships, he works, he tills. Hey, he labors, he fears, and he obeys, and he worships, not because he has to, but because he wants to. Hey, he loves the Lord. He fixes his heart upon the Lord. He seeks and desires to obey the Lord. Hey, because he desires to, not because he's demanded to, but it's because he has a desire and a heart out of love. He wants to serve. He wants to work. He wants to labor for the Lord with a heart full of love, And that's how Joshua is a servant of the Lord. I want to say to you this morning, hey, God's going to write an epitaph for you one day. God's going to have a eulogy for you one day. And I wonder this morning, hey, if you was to die right now, would he know you as a servant of the Lord? Amen. Would God, hey, we can write a lot of things on a piece of paper down here, but if God was to write your eulogy, or God was to write, hey, the headstone of your grave, like he did Joshua's, would he write on there, he was a son of so-and-so, a daughter of so-and-so, a servant of the Lord? I'm telling you, I can't think of any greater honor, hey, in my life this morning than ever to be known as a servant of the Lord. I'm telling you, people strive, hey, for man. They want to be known by men. They want to be great in man's eyes. People strive to have a lot of money. They want to have a great fortune. They want to have fame. They want to do a lot of things. But the Bible says to trust the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And all these other things is going to be added unto you. Amen. I can't think, I want to stress this morning. You say, well, preacher, you're going on in your introduction. Yeah, I am, because I want you to know, hey, there is no greater thing in life than you to be known as a servant of the Lord. You can't get enough money that's going to make you more important than to be servant of the Lord. Hey, there's nothing you'll ever accomplish in life any greater than you to serve the Lord, to love him, to cherish him, to labor for him, hey, to worship him, to give your all to him, to seek him, and to diligently seek after him with a heart full of love and be known as a servant of the Lord. Amen. That's what we ought to do this morning as Christians. Can I say we ought to be a servant of the Lord? But can I say to you, lost person this morning that never trusted Jesus Christ, hey, you need to become a servant of the Lord. You say, how did Joshua become a servant of the Lord? I give you a few thoughts this morning, share with you right here from this passage, and I'll share a few things with you. How did Joshua become a servant of the Lord? How did Joshua get down to the end of his life and God Almighty, the sovereign God of the universe that knows all and watches over all, how did the God of the universe pin down and write about Joshua that he was a servant of the Lord? Can I say it started with a desire? Can I say it started with a desire? Amen? Hey, it started with a desire. A desire, but it didn't end in a desire. It was a desire that led him to make a decision. A desire that led him to make a decision. Can I say to you the first decision you got to make this morning? Look at verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. He said, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you. He said, you got a decision to make. He said, there's a decision for you. Can I say the first decision you'll have to make, and I really hate to use the word decision, but the first choice in life that you've got to make to be known as a servant of the Lord is a decision of salvation. Can I tell you, whether you're saved or not, your salvation is not a chance, it's a choice. That's a lot of people goes through life and says, well, I hope so, I think so, I'm working on it. No, hold on, friend. Hey, your salvation this morning is not a chance, it's a choice. You say, well, God knows, and when we get to the end, he'll pick the one. No, look up in here. He gave you a choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't call on the name of the Lord, you shall not be saved. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hey, salvation this morning is a choice. Amen. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't believe in him, look up in here. If you don't believe in him, you ain't got everlasting life. Hey, Luke 13:3. Hey, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. Amen. It's a choice you got to make. Salvation's a choice. You say, well, God's got a few picked to be saved and a few picked to be lost. You've been reading too many books. You need to get back and read the Bible. Right. Hey, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a choice. Can I say salvation is the greatest choice you'll ever make in your life? Can I say, you say, well, how do you know Joshua was saved? Because in Numbers 27:18, the Bible said that Joshua was a man in whom was the Spirit. Can I say, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. If you've got the Spirit, you are saved. Amen. Amen. The Spirit's not in lost people, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you this morning, hey, you're not saved. Can I say to you, salvation's first base. Salvation is the greatest choice and the greatest decision you ever make. And can I say, you can do a lot of things in the church. You can preach, you can sing, you can do a lot of great things. Hey, you said preacher, you can preach. Yeah, I've known preachers that had to get saved. Amen. Hey, you can do a lot of great things and die and go to hell. You can serve the Lord. You can be a charter member. You can quote the Bible, hey, backwards and forwards, and know everything about it. And die and go to hell if you're not saved. Salvation is not a chance, it's a choice. Hey, you say, what are you talking about, preacher? Hey, I'm telling you, I dread to see the numbers of people that get to heaven and say, well, I got a pen for being there, you know, the most Sundays, or I said the most verses. And God's going to say, depart from me. And God's going to say, hey, you never made the choice to trust my son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you'll ever get to heaven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in any works you've ever do. You know, back in, it was either 1924 or 1925, something like that, one of the World Series. It was the Washington Senators, and I think they was playing to Pittsburgh. They was either playing Pittsburgh or New York. I can't remember. And it's a guy named Goose Goslin. Goose Goslin got up the bat. Two outs. And Goose Goslin got up, and he got up the bat, and he hit the ball on the fifth pitch. I mean, they said he cracked it. Man, went to left center field, I think it was, way deep, and it almost went over the wall, but it hit the wall and fell. But Goose was running, and on Goose running, first base, second base, third base, and he was going to stop, and the third base coach told him, go on home. And Goose runs all the way home and slides in home plate, and everybody's cheering, the crowd's going crazy. Goose, hey, he hit a home run, he's going to win the game. And the umpire looks around and he stands there, and then about that time, the umpire looks out and says, you're out! You can go home and study my history. You say, well, what was the big deal? I mean, the coach come out and grabbed the umpire and said, what are you talking about? The man hit a home run, he hit the ball to the fence, he ran all the bases. And the umpire said, sir, he did all that, but guess what he did? He forgot to touch first base. And can I say to you, there's a lot of people sitting in Baptist churches this morning. They're singing in the choir. They're putting money in the offering plate. They're there every week. They sing the songs. They say amen. They got the nice clothes. They got the nice haircuts. They dress right. They spit right. They do everything right. But they have missed first base. And can I say to you, first base is for you to have a time where you personally place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not your mama, not your daddy, not your granny, not your preacher, not your wife, not your husband, but you and you alone do business with God and say, God, I believe that I'm a sinner, and God, I believe I'm on my way to hell, but God, I believe that you sent your only begotten son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross for my sins, and I believe if I'd have been the only one, you'd have died for me. And God, I today place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins, and I turn to God from my sin. And I'm asking you to say, and can I say to you, if you don't ever have an experience like that, if you don't ever have some time, some place in your life, you may not remember the exact time, you may not remember the exact date, you may not even remember a whole lot of the details, but if you don't know that there's been a place and a time in your life where you personally trusted Jesus Christ, can I say to you, I don't care how religious you are, I don't care how many good works you're going to do, one of these days you're going to be called out because you've missed first base. And I say to you, salvation is the greatest decision you ever make in your life. You got to make a decision to be saved. God made a choice. God sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. You're going to either choose the God of heaven or you're going to choose the gods of this world. You're sitting here this morning, you say, man, I'm not letting some God through some old time Bible tell me how to live my life. Well, you'll choose to serve the gods of this world. You're a servant to one or the other. You're going to be led by this world and the dictates of the world. And let me say, when you're led by the world, what you're doing is being led by Satan, whether you know it or not. And you're either going to serve him or you're going to serve the God of heaven that loves you. I promise you a home in heaven if you just trust his son. Salvation is the greatest decision, but can I say after you're saved, there's a decision to serve. There's a decision to serve. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you serve. There's a lot of people that's been saved, but they're happy to sit soaking sour. I mean, they scrape them off a place on the pew, and they're going to sing that song, I shall not be moved. That you ask them to do anything, and they're not doing anything, amen. Right. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some people that need to quit doing nothing. I heard about an old lady, man, the preacher was preaching. People got to testifying, and one of them stood up and said, "How, preacher, how God's worked in my heart, and I'm gonna quit dipping." And one of them stood up and said, "I'm going to quit smoking." One of them said, "I'm going to quit gambling." One of them said, "I'm going to quit running around on my wife." One of them said, "I'm going to quit drinking." And one old lady in the back, and everybody thought she was just saying, she said, "Preacher, this morning," she said, I got something I got to quit." And everybody was, "What you going to quit?" She said, "I'm going to quit doing nothing." She said, "Because that's exactly what I've been doing for God, nothing." And she said, "I'm going to quit doing it." And can I say to you, our churches are full of people that need to quit doing nothing. Right. Amen. They need to quit doing nothing. There's too many people doing nothing. Hey, you're not going to be known as a servant if you don't serve. Hey, salvation's the first choice, but serving's the next choice. Amen. Right. Serving. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Hey, he said, "Listen, hey, we want to serve. It's a decision, hey, to serve, not to be seen." There's a lot of people that they'll do something at the church just as long as somebody's patting them on the back, just as long as somebody's pointing them out, calling their name and saying, "Look what so-and-so did today. Look what so-and-so did this week." And as long as they're getting their name broadcast, as long as somebody's patting them on the back, as long as their name's on the sign, hey, they're happy. They'll do anything you want as long as you call them out. Hey, but if you quit calling their name and you quit patting them on the back, they're going to get their feelings hurt. And guess what they're going to do? Nothing. Right. Tell you, hey, we need some people that are willing to serve and not be seen. Right. You know what? Hey, cleaning the nursery, cleaning the bathrooms, keeping the nursery, taking out the trash, all of that is a service to God Almighty. Right. Say, "Preacher, I want to serve the Lord." Hey, grab a broom and join the rest of us. Amen. Right. Amen. It's not all about preaching. It's not. Hey, preaching's one of the least things I do through the week. I mean, really, I preach three times all week long. You got your hands full doing all kinds of other stuff. I'm telling you this morning, hey, if you want to be a servant of the Lord, there's somewhere for you to serve. Right. Amen. If you want to do something, hop in line and jump in with the rest of us, hey, we'll go to work. The sad statistics tell us that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Wow. Hey, it's a decision to serve. Watch. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made a decision. As me, hey, hold on now. Joshua must have been in charge of his house, Daddy. It's very well possible that his wife was in agreement and she submitted and said, "All right, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's go." But hey, he didn't say that. He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." He didn't have to call home and ask her, "Honey, can we go to church? Honey, can we serve the Lord?" Now, she may have agreed, but Joshua's going to serve the Lord whether she agreed or not. He didn't have to ask the kids, "Hey, do y'all got a ball game tonight or can we go to church?" It's getting quiet, and it probably ought to. Hey, Joshua said, "It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I mean, hey, I'm talking about a decision. Can I say to you this morning, you're sitting here and you're saying, "Preacher, I don't know about it." Can I say to you, the decisions that you make will determine the life you live. If you don't make a decision that you're going to serve the Lord, there's a lot of people that the reason they're not serving the Lord today, Miss Barbara, is because they've never made a conscious decision that I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. And I'm going to say to you this morning, the decisions you make will determine the life that you're going to live. And let me say this, how your life turns out ultimately will be directly caused by the decisions that you begin to make today. Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" You ever heard of Achan? We go back to Joshua chapter number 7. You heard about a story about a man named Achan. And God told him, God said, "Listen," God said, "Hey," told Joshua and the nation of Israel, he said, "When you go in there," he said, "you don't take anything from them. Hey, you just go in there and clean them out. Kill them all. Hey, and don't take any of their goods." But old Achan went in there and he got him a garment and he got him some silver. Saw them Babylonian goods. And he went in and when he got home, he hid them up underneath of his tent. You know what Achan did? He made a terrible decision to disobey God. I mean, he made a terrible decision to disobey God. And guess what it did? It cost him his life. But guess what? Not only will your decisions affect your life, but your decisions, hey, very well possibly may and most likely will affect others in your life. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, Achan lost his life. I ain't got time to go back. You go home and read Joshua chapter 7. Achan lost his life, but not only his life, his whole family was stoned with him. Hey, because one man made a terrible decision to disobey God and thought he could hide it. Hey, and Achan was hiding sin in the camp, and it cost Israel, and then it cost Achan, and then it cost his whole family. Because one man made a wrong decision. I'm telling you, your decisions will affect your life and the outcome of it, but your decisions will affect somebody beside you. Somebody's watching you. There's some young people in this church. They're looking up to some of you older folk. They're looking up to their moms and their dads. Hey, they're looking up to you older folk. They're watching you, and they know when you come to church, and they know when you go somewhere else, and they know when you're faithful, and they know when you're a hypocrite. Hey, they can see right through your fakeness. And I'm going to tell you what. They don't water it down. They just imitate it. People's watching you. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Some people, here's somebody that made a good decision in life. You've heard of Joseph. Joseph, you can go back and read the latter parts of the book of Genesis and the life of Joseph. And old Joseph was, hey, he was in Potiphar's house. And, man, he was over everything except for Potiphar and his wife. But Potiphar's wife came to Joseph. And the Bible says daily she came to him, day by day. And she wanted him to lay with her. And Joseph said, how can I do this great thing? How can I sin against God? He realized that it wasn't just a sin against her. It wasn't just a sin against her husband. But it was a sin against God. And Joseph said, ain't no way. And daily he made a decision. Can I say to you, hey, he chose to run, but later he ruled. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, look at him. It cost him prison time. Yeah, it might have cost him prison time. Hey, but hey, he found a good time with God in heaven. Hey, down there in that prison, he found the presence of the Lord was real. And God brought him out of that prison and set him up over the palace one day. And Joseph was a leader over Egypt. Joseph saved the nation of Egypt and the nation of Israel. Amen. Went back to a decision he made. Started with the decision he made to serve God and to be real. I'll tell you about a couple of people who made some bad decisions. Y'all ever heard of Samson? Strongest man. You know, y'all think about Popeye, but Samson was the strongest man to ever live, and he didn't have spinach. He had the power of God. Samson disobeyed God. Samson got his eyes and made a decision. He wanted a woman that he shouldn't have wanted. There's a lot of young people that's going to get messed up because of a person of the opposite sex that they know that they ought not mess with. Can I say to you this morning, hey, if you're saved and they're not saved, that's not dating ground. Some of you moms and dads should have said amen right there. That's right. Hey, a saved person has no business dating a lost person. And let me just help you out. Hey, a spiritual person has no need dating a carnal person. I mean, if you want what's best in your life, and it's not even real wise for a Baptist to date a Methodist. Right. Somebody of another denomination. Yep. Hey, marriage has its challenges of itself. Hey, you're just putting strikes against you. Every difference you bring up. Right. Can I say the Bible talks about being unequally yoked? Well, Samson was unequally yoked. He went after a woman he shouldn't have had. And then God told him not to cut his hair. And guess what he did? He told the secret. And while he was sleeping in the arms of Delilah, she went to snipping and clipping. And she shaved his head, and he woke up, and he had no power. He had no strength. And it cost him his life eventually. Eventually cost him his life. You say, well, he killed more in his death than he did in his life. Yeah, but he died. Yeah, he died. He made a bad decision. I think about King David. King David, the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. But the Bible said that old King David, there was a time when kings were to be at war. But old David didn't go to war. Old David made a decision to stay home. He was up on the housetop, and he looked over, and he saw another man's wife. He knew right then he shouldn't have been looking. He knew right then he should have just squashed that thought. He should have killed it. But he made a decision, and it was a bad one. And he told his men, go get that woman and bring her to me. And David made a decision right then. It cost him, and it cost his family. Amen. He had a man killed. It cost him. I'm telling you, some decisions you make can destroy your life in not only your life, but maybe your children's. I can hear David crying over the hilltops today, "Absalom, oh Absalom!" But it was too late for Absalom because David made a bad choice. And it wound up costing him his son. It cost him. I'm telling you, hey, like the old preacher said, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. You making a decision this morning, who you going to serve? Are you going to serve the God of heaven? Are you going to be content to serve the gods of this world? I'm talking about a desire that led him to a decision, but let me say this. There was a devotion that led him to determination. A devotion that led him to determination. You say, what are you talking about? Well, watch with me. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve. Will. Underline that word will in your mind or in your Bible, either one. We will. He didn't say we might. You know, will is a powerful word. We will. In other words, we sure enough gonna. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I say we need some people today, 2012, we need some people that have some determination to serve God. I mean, it seems like just the littlest things come along and throw us off guard. It seems like the littlest thing takes away our commitment. We don't know anything about commitment anymore. Faithfulness, stick-to-itiveness. I mean, it seems like when the wind blows, we got to go another way. We need some people, hey, to be determined that, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Notice he said we're going to serve the Lord. He didn't say we're going to serve other things or other gods or anybody else. We're going to serve the Lord. And notice he didn't say, hey, he didn't say we're going to serve him as long as it suits or as long as it pays or as long as it's comfortable. No, he didn't say that. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say we're going to serve him on the mountaintop, but when we get down in the valley, we're going to have to bail out. No, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, Joshua said, hey, if they like it, if they like me at the school, I'm going to serve the Lord. And if they don't like me, I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. Hey, if they like me, at my work for serving the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. And if they don't like me, guess what? I'm still going to serve the Lord. If mom and daddy like me serving the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. And if mom and daddy don't like me serving the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord anyway. He said, we're going to serve the Lord. If my wife likes it, fine. If she don't like it, hey, she'll get over it. Amen. If my husband likes it, fine. If he don't like it, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me, we will serve the Lord. Hey, it didn't matter who else was going to serve the Lord. He didn't look around. Joshua didn't have to look around and wonder, you know, hey, boys, hey, y'all in with this? You know, because the majority rules, you know, so if y'all ain't cool with this, we won't. No, you don't find that in your Bible. Hey, Joshua was determined. It caused him to take a stand. It caused him to take a stand. I like that old song that said, hey, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Amen. You got to stand for something. You will fall for anything. There's a lot of people falling for anything today because, they're not willing to take a stand for nothing. Well, everybody's too worried about being politically correct. Well, hogwash with politically correct. Can I say politically correctness is killing our churches? It's killing our country. Hey, politically correctness needs to be gone, washed out, down the drain. Time somebody stands up, takes a stand, and says, this is right, this is wrong. This is black, this is white. Hey, this is the way we go, this is the way we don't go. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's some things you ought to be determined to take a stand on. I'm going to say, hey, this King James Bible, you ought to be willing to take a stand for this Bible. Amen. You ought to take a stand for this Bible. This is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. Every bit of it. You ought to fight over the Word of God. Hey, somebody don't believe it. Somebody's going to take it away from you. Hey, they ought to pry it out of your hands with a gun upside your head. Amen. You ought to love that book. That book right there is what brings you eternal life. You ought to take a stand for salvation by grace through faith. I'm telling you, hey, you ought to take a stand for some things. You ought to take a stand against some things. Amen. Joshua's stand caused him to be separated. Wow, that's a word we don't hear a lot preached. Hey, separation is a Bible doctrine. Hey, the Bible still says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve the world and God. You're going to have to come out from among one of them. You're going to have to get away from one. Hey, Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? The obvious answer is no way, Jose. You can't dance with the devil and walk with the Lord. Amen. You're going to have to make a decision. Joshua, his determination was he took a stand and he was separated. You remember Joshua, he was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy out the promised land. He saw the great grapes. He saw the, hey, he saw the giants, but he saw those grapes, man. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, hey, we can and we will. Let's go. But those other 10 said, no. No, we can't. We saw the giants. We saw, man, they looked, made us look like grasshoppers. We can't. And Joshua was one of the two, Joshua and Caleb, that was willing to be separated from the crowd. Can I say to you, 2 against 10, that's not the majority ruling. Are y'all with me? He's not worried about what the crowd thinks. He was worried about what his God thought. And Joshua said, hey, there's a land of promise. Let's go. Hey, you know what he did? He took a stand even then in his life. And he had a testimony all through his life. His determination led him to separate. Look in verse number 22 and 23. The people were saying they're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua was trying to get them to say, hey, you can't serve the Lord and hold on to your old gods. That's what he's trying to show them throughout this passage. He said, you can't just say you're going to serve the Lord. You've got to show him you'll serve him. Joshua said to the people in verse 22, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. They said, we're witnesses. Verse 23, watch this. Here's the separation. Here's the stand. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. He said, you're going to have to separate. You're going to have to take a stand against the gods, hey, that you used to serve. Hey, you're going to have to get rid of those strange gods which are among you. Evidently, they brought the strange gods, Brother Rodney. Evidently, they brought them out of Egypt, took them through the wilderness, and they still got them in the promised land. Can I say to you, there's some Christians, you've been saved. You've known the Lord. You've been born again. There's no doubt you're a child of God. But the whole time you're in your Christian life, you've got that one little pet sin you're holding on to. You got a little stranger, that you hold on to. Maybe nobody knows about it. Maybe nobody in church knows. Maybe you don't broadcast it, but you got something you've been holding on to. Can I say to you, if you're going to be known as a servant of the Lord in God's eyes, you're going to have to get rid of those strange gods. Amen. You're going to have to get rid of those strange gods. You're going to have to ditch them. You cannot serve God with a pure, clean heart, a total love and devotion to Him, service and labor based out of love. You can't do it if you're holding on to something in your life that doesn't please God. You've got your little pet over here. We ain't telling. Thank you, God, for saving me, but you can't have this. The old preacher said he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord of all at all. We're saying, preacher, I'm simply saying we need some determination, be willing to take a stand and separate for some things. And let me say his devotion not only led him to determination, but let me say this, his devotion, it led him to dedication. Dedication to the Lord. Not only separated from those gods, but to the Lord. He said, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Incline. Can I say his dedication and his determination, it wasn't just emotion, but it was devotion. There's a lot of people get emotional. I mean, they get in a service and it's high and everybody's shouting and hollering. Woo! And as long as everybody's going with that, they're for it, man, I'll serve God. But Joshua had a determination and a dedication to serve the Lord that was devotion, not emotion. Hey, look, I like emotions, amen? I like them, but guess what? Emotions come and emotions go. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My trust is in the Word of God. What else is worth believing? Amen? I'm telling you, you need to determine whether it's going to feel good or not feel good, whether you feel like it or not. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. It's not based on my emotions. Can I say, if you're going to serve God when you feel like it, you're not going to serve God very often. Amen. Can I say to you, and I'm going to tell you honestly as a preacher of the gospel, hey, I promise you Monday morning when I wake up tomorrow morning about 6:30, 7 o'clock, hey, I ain't going to feel like serving God. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. Let's just be real honest. I'm going to have to get up, wake up a little bit, get me a little rest, and get me some food. Amen. Food. Amen. Food. Amen. Wow. Food. I got y'all's attention when I said food. Then I might feel like doing something. Man, you call me at 3:30 in the morning, and I ain't been in the bed that long. You wake me up, and we ain't going to be saying, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all's within me. You have to give me a little time to wake up, and then we'll get around to that. Let's be honest. You can't serve the Lord based on feelings. I'm telling you, emotions go, but devotion will stick. Devotion. Hey, I'm dedicated. Hey, you don't hear a whole lot about dedication. Dedication will lead you, we talked about, to be separated to the Lord, not just from the sin, not just to be determined, I'm not going to live in sin, I'm not going to worship strange God, but to be dedicated that I will be separated to serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And let me say this, not only that, but I will be submissive. We're talking about a word called surrender. You don't hear a whole lot about surrender. The old preacher's talking about being surrendered. Young generation, hey, learn the word surrender. You'll never know the joys of serving the Lord until you learn to surrender to the Lord. Can I say, Joshua knew what it was like to be submitted to the Lord. Not only, hey, we could read that in verse number 19. Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He'll not forgive you transgression nor sin. What's he saying? Is he saying he won't? No, he's saying he's not going to do that if you're going to hold on to them strange gods. That's what he's trying to tell them. Joshua was willing to be submitted to the Lord. Submitted to the Lord. Let me say, not only submitted to the Lord, but Joshua was a man who in his life, he proved he was submitted to God's man. Not just to God, but to God's man. You say, how do you know that? Because back in Numbers chapter number 27, you go back there, that's where God told Moses to call Joshua in and to anoint him as the next leader of the nation of Israel. And in Numbers 27, God had placed Joshua as the heir to Moses and in the leadership of the nation of Israel. But from that point on, not one time did Joshua ever get in Moses' way. Joshua knew that he was going to be the next. He knew, hey, Moses knew he wasn't going to the promised land. God told him he couldn't go. But not one time did Joshua rebel against Moses. Not one time did he buck Moses' authority. Not one time in your King James Bible will you find that Joshua said, hey, Moses, we don't need to do it that way. Let's do it this way. Matter of fact, I'm the next leader. No, not one time. You know why? Because Joshua knew the importance not only to be submitted to God, but to be submitted to God's man. And let me say, not only to God's man, but to be submitted to God's word. You go back in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's talking about you're going to meditate in it day and night. Joshua knew what it was like to submit to the word. He let the word of God dictate his actions. He let the word of God dictate his decisions. He let the word of God dictate the life that he was going to live. He was submitted to the word of God. Can I say we need some people today that will be submitted to God, to God's man, to God's word? Jesus Christ is the greatest example. Read Philippians chapter number 2. I ain't got time to preach everything in my heart this morning. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. And read Philippians chapter 2. Hey, Jesus Christ is the greatest example you can ever find of somebody being submitted. And Jesus Christ is God, but he submitted himself to the will of the Father, and he humbled himself, and he came to this earth as in the form of a servant, and he came, and he humbled himself not as a servant, but he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, the Bible says, even the death of the cross. And because he did that, the Bible said, wherefore God also highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Hey, and he said, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. You know how, hey, Jesus earned that exalted place by being humble and submissive to the Father. Yeah. So we see his decision, we see his determination, we just see his dedication. Let me say this. we see something in his death. Verse number 31, 29 through 31, we see something displayed in the life of Joshua that now in his death is an example of a servant of the Lord. God said in verse 29, the servant of the Lord died being 110 years old. God said that. Make no mistakes about it. God said, hey, Joshua's a pattern you can follow. He's a servant of the Lord. But watch what he said in verse 31. He said, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Can I say in his death, there was no regrets? I don't think Joshua got down on his deathbed and said, man, I wished I wouldn't have devoted my life to God. I wished I wouldn't have been so determined to stand against the strange gods. Man, I wish I'd have spent more time in Egypt. No, when Joshua came time to die, he closed his eyes in death and God remembered him as a servant. No regret. I thought about a man named William Borden. Anybody ever heard of William Borden? William Borden was of the great family of the Bordens. Y'all, you probably heard of the Borden family. It's a business, even today. William Borden, 1904, he graduated high school in Chicago. And he was, I mean, his family's rich, man. They own a great business. And William Borden's family gave him a trip. They said, listen, for your graduation, we're going to give you a trip around the world. William Borden was a Christian. William Borden, on his trip around the world, he began to see different places in the world, and his heart began to become burdened for the people of the world that didn't know Christ. William Borden got back from his trip, and he let some people know, even on his way home, that he was surrendering his life to be a missionary. People thought, man, you're in line to be the leader of the Borden family. Man, you could be the next heir to this great business. And some of them even said, man, you're throwing your life away to be a missionary. And William Borden opened up his Bible, and in the flyleaf of his Bible, he wrote two words. He wrote, no reserves. No reserves. William Borden went on, and he went to the University of Yale. Y'all know the Princeton and Yale and all those Ivy League colleges, they used to be, the reason they were started was to train preachers. Read your history on that one. That's why they began. But, hey, William went to Yale University to study and to learn. While he was there, God even began to work in his heart there. And he'd done much ministry there and leading people to the Lord and trying to serve the Lord. But he was preparing himself all the while to go and to be a missionary. And even then, in his trips and different things, he began to have a burden, he said, for a place in China, where it was a people full of Muslims, an area full of Muslims. And he had a burden to go and to reach the Muslims in China. And people thought, man, Borden, you're crazy. He graduated from Yale. He had great job offers, several of them, and he turned them all down. He said, listen, that's not what God wants me to do. He said, God wants me to be a missionary and go reach these Muslims in China. And he turned them down. And when he turned them down and people was asking about it, he wrote two more words in his Bible. The words was, no retreat. No retreat. So in his Bible, he had no reserves and no retreat. He turned those jobs down and he said, listen, I'm going to get some more training. So he went to Princeton to the seminary. And he began to learn more and more, preparing himself to go to the mission field. He got done with Princeton and he said, I'm going to China. And on his way to China, he was going by Egypt. And he said, I want to go to Egypt. He said, because there's people there that he said, I can learn the Arabic language from. And he wanted to learn that Arabic language. And when he went there, he wasn't there very long. And William Borden, he contracted spinal meningitis. And within a month of being there and contacting spinal meningitis, William Borden died at 25 years old. He never even made it to China. Never made it to the people he felt God called him to. Some people thought his death was an untimely waste, that William had wasted his life. He could have been the heir of a great company. His family had millions. They could have set him up for life. He could have done a lot of things. They got his Bible, and just before his death, they were looking through his Bible after he died. Just before his death, William had opened up his Bible. And underneath the spot where it said, no reserves and no retreats, just before he died, he had wrote two more words. He said, no regrets. No regrets. Can I say William Borden could have been a millionaire in God, in man's eyes, but in God's eyes, William Borden was a servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord, no regrets. Can I say to you, Joshua lived a life of no regrets. You say, preacher, how you know that? The Bible says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. In other words, as long as he was there with them, he was leading them in the right direction, they were serving the Lord. They were following his example. But it doesn't just say that. It says, in all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known the works of the Lord. So after Joshua died, the people that knew him, they knew his walk with the Lord. They knew his leadership. They knew his desire and his devotion and his commitment. And his example in life showed them that they ought to walk with God. And as long as there's people there that remember Joshua and his walk with God, they continued to walk with God. The sad thing is, after those people died off, Israel went off in idolatry. But old Joshua died. He was a son of Nun, a servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Can I ask you a question this morning? If you was to die right now, I'm not worried about what the Gazette or what the Winston-Salem Journal would say, but if you was to die right now, what would God Almighty say? If God wrote your obituary today, what would he say? Great businessman, great dad, great whatever, great mom, great cook. Or if God wrote it, would he say, servant of the Lord, a servant of the Lord. God help us to have a desire to be a servant of the Lord. Can I say this? Joshua made a decision, and he was determined, and he was dedicated to serve the Lord. Joshua's life affected others. How will your life affect the people around you? What will they see? Joshua was so determined, nothing was going to stop him. Nothing's going to discourage him, and Joshua left a mark. Joshua left a mark. We're reading about him today, thousands of years later. He's making an impact in our life. Can I say to you, that's the kind of people we need today. That's the kind of people, hey, we don't just need independent fundamental Baptists. We need some independent fundamental Baptists that'll be saved. They say, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what nobody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. Hey, no matter what, who comes against me, no matter who likes me or don't like me, with my mom, my dad, hey, it don't matter if you're a parent or you need some determination. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to stick with the stuff. I'm going to say there's too many people today who profess that they know Christ while they're trying to do the least they can get by with. While we ought to be trying for looking for more ways that we can serve the Lord and please God with our lives. We look around and we see the troubles in our world. We see the troubles in our country. Can I say to you, moms and dads, ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you the answer to the problems in this world? They're not going to be found at the White House. They're not going to be found at the courthouse. The answers to the problems of this world are not going to be found anywhere but at your house. Joshua said, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. You know, one of these days I want to stand before God, and I really do. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. But you know what? If we don't do well, we're not going to hear well done. So let me ask you a question one more time. If something happened to you today and God wrote your obituary, what would God say? A heavenly obituary. Joshua, son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray, God, you take this message. I pray these simple truths, God, I pray you'd help us to apply them to our heart. And I pray, God, you'd have your will and way in this invitation. God, speak to hearts and lives and do the work that only you can do. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. We've got our heads.